We sang a song a minute ago, one of the first songs Harold did, Troublesome Times Are Here. You know, sometimes people sing that song and they go, well, why are we singing about that? You know, freedom we all hold dear is now as it's safe. You ever look at the date when the song was written? 1942. Now, there are a few of us who were here in 1942. And you know what was going on. And if you didn't, you learned in your history books. In 1942, the world was in the middle of World War II, and the United States was just getting dragged into it. And there was trouble on a global scale. But you know, that's not the last time we've had trouble, right? And what we're talking about today is trouble. Dealing with trouble. Now, granted, you do reap what you sow. Right, the Bible tells us if you reap to the flesh, if you reap to sin, you're going to bear the result of that, and that's not going to be good. But what about a Christian? We don't live our lives that way, right? Yes, we do sin. We still struggle with sin, but we're not sowing to it. We're not aiming at it, and yet we still have trouble in our lives, a lot of trouble. You know, a Christian's trouble is not punishment. Sometimes people think if something bad happens to them, they're being punished by God. Okay? There are times when that happens. You reap what you sow, right? And, you know, one of the things people always say, you know, they talk about, you know, God being in control. You know, if you jump off of a cliff, God is not going to cancel the law of gravity for you. The law of gravity will do its job because God ordained it to do its job, and you will go down. You know, they say it's not the fall that get you, it's the sudden stop, right? That is not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about trouble. Things are troubled. You remember when you were a kid and you were in school? You ever have a teacher say, boy, you're in trouble? I want you to go down the hall to the principal's office. I did. I had that happen a few times. If my mom was still here with us, she'd be saying amen right now. You know, we don't like it. And we know when we're in it. But you know what Jesus said? He said in John 16:33, he said, in the world you will have tribulation. When we hear that tribulation word, we think of other things, but that word just means trouble. It means trouble. In the world, you're going to have trouble. Paul says it. He says it in Acts chapter 14. It's talking about him. He says, Paul preached everywhere. We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. He said, we're going to have trouble. Life is going to be full of trouble. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, he talks about it a little bit. He's talking about, this is chapter 7, verse 5. He says, for indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, and inside were fears. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever been troubled on every side? Have you ever felt like the world was just such a big mess, and life was just so messed up? And it's just like everywhere you were going to turn, it was going to be bad. It's going to be bad news. Whether that's health, finances, relationships, problems at work, personal safety, fear, lots of trouble. What's the purpose of a Christian's troubles? You know, one of the really, really good things about understanding deeply that God is in control of this world means that you know that there's reasons. You know, if stuff was just happening random and there were no reason, it'd be pretty awful, be pretty hopeless. But God has reasons. And he even has reasons for trouble. You know, we know this because when we find this, you know, when we study the visions of God, we did this in the book of Daniel until y'all probably had it oozing out of your ears. You know, God is in control, period. What did Daniel tell Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, you know, and he didn't know what it was, and he asked Daniel. Daniel said that God would bless him and let him interpret the dream. You know what Daniel says the first thing? He says, look, this isn't because I'm smarter than anybody or I'm some special guy, but there's a God in heaven, and he puts up kings, and he takes down kings. He's in control. He's in control. He's in control right now. He sets up presidents, and he takes down presidents. He sets up governments and takes down governments. He is in control. And that's not just on the international, pop, political, global scale. He's in control in our lives. He's going to do what his will says he's going to do. So, you know, how do we understand that? What's the purpose of all this? Especially when we go through really, really tough times. I mean, we have minor problems. We have aches and pains. We may have a little surprise here or there. But when we are really shocked by a hard situation in life, how do we as Christians deal with that? How do we deal with it? The Bible, of course, tells us how to deal with it. And that's what this lesson is going to be about. So let's start. We're going to start in Romans chapter 5, first five verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, that all sounded pretty good, and it said, until it said, we glory in tribulations. We glory in trouble. Do you ever feel that way? Do you feel like, oh boy, I'm glad trouble just hit me? No, we don't feel that way. But notice the reason Paul gives. We glory in it knowing that trouble, I'm going to use trouble instead of tribulation here, trouble produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Do you know whenever a bad thing happens in your life, whenever there's trouble in your life, that it is an opportunity? It's an opportunity to grow. What does it say? Trouble produces perseverance, produces character, hope. You know, this is sort of like what we had in Stephen's lessons. He's been doing a series from 2 Peter where it says, add to your faith knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and you know, all those things, right? That you start with faith and then you build on it. And this is kind of a similar idea. Now, it doesn't mean you go out seeking problems, right? We don't go off and seek trouble, but trouble happens. Sometimes it's things that we have nothing to do, that nobody has anything to do with. Right? About the weather here we've had in North Carolina the last couple of months. This weird, warm, summer, you know, spring-like winter we're having. We got flowers blooming everywhere. My blueberries are starting to bud, and it's January, right? This is very, very strange. Is anybody at fault for that? No. It's just God's will. It's just God's will. That's the winter we're going to have. That can happen. You know, when famines happened in the Old Testament, it wasn't because somebody did something wrong. He says, God said, I'm going to send a famine. Now, sometimes he did send a famine on a nation to wake them up, right? But these are things that just happen. Now, there are things that people cause. People make bad decisions. Maybe groups of people make bad decisions, right? That can happen. That can cause problems. But here, we're talking about, how does a Christian look at this? One of the things that I've learned over many, many years of trouble, and, you know, if you live long enough in this world, you have quite a long list of troubles you've lived through. You know, you do. Was I started saying, instead of saying, why God, I would say, what God? What do you want me to learn? What is the purpose? What can I learn from this situation? Many, many, most of you know that I was married before I married Sarah. I was married for 25 years. My wife died after many, many, many years of serious illness. And it was a tough time. It was a really tough time. But, you know, you learn after all of that. You don't just go, well, why God? Why me? Why me? You say, Father, what do you want me to learn? And you're going to learn about that more here in a minute. So in 1 Peter 1, Peter talks about it a little bit here. He gives us a little more of an insight. He says, starting verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Boy, that all sounds good, doesn't it? Keep reading, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice. See, he agrees. He says this is really good stuff. But notice, though for now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So he says, yeah, trouble. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom not having seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That the genuineness of your faith, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory, the revelation of Jesus Christ. There is a statement of purpose for the trouble that a Christian goes through. God has a reason. In fact, Peter uses this several times in his letters. He talks about the difference between earthly wealth like gold and silver. And he says, you know, all that stuff's going to burn up, you know. But he says, what he's talking about is spiritual gold. When you go through troubles as a Christian, not because of something wrong you've done, when you go through troubles as a Christian, it purifies you. It refines you. You know how they make silver and gold, right? You know, when it comes out of the ground, it's not a pretty, you know, piece of jewelry or something. It's a rock. First, you have to beat the rock, beat it to, you know, to pieces. And then you put it in the fire and you melt it and you heat it up really, really hot. And then very rarely is the metal in there pure. It's got all kinds of other metals in it. It's got some other junk in it. And so you have to heat it and you have to pour off the bad stuff and separate the good stuff. And then you have to heat it up again. You have to pour off the bad stuff, separate the good stuff. You have to do that a lot. How do you think it feels to be that lump of gold in the middle of that rock? You see, spiritually speaking, that's what God does with us in our life. He wants to purify us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be strong. And to do that, we have to go through these trials. That's part of the purpose. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, Paul talks about it as well. And he gives us another little insight. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Wow. First of all, he's saying, man, we're really happy. You guys are doing great. You know, we're bound to thank God for you. Your faith's growing exceedingly. You love everybody. You love each other great. And we even boast about it through the other churches, your patience and faith in all your persecution and trouble. Do you realize that when you're going through trouble as a Christian, that that's when your light shines the brightest, or should shine the brightest, right? When you're seeing that, when you're going through it, when you're struggling, when you're fighting, that's when you shine the brightest. I know this. My late wife, of course, was very sick for many years. And we used to go, we were in doctor's offices probably on the order of 3 or 4 times a week for years. It was constant, all the time. And Sandy was very sick and a lot of pain and suffering. But one of the things that she would do is whatever doctor's office we were going in all the time, she would pick the meanest, sourest attitude nurse in the whole place. And that was her project. And, you know, sometimes she'd be in a wheelchair, sometimes she'd be in pain, sometimes she'd be suffering terrible. But whenever we were there, she would always make a point of smiling at that person and telling her that God loved her. What louder testimony can you have when you're suffering, when you're in trouble, when your life is really a big pain, and yet you say, God bless you today. You know, I'm so thankful that God gave us sunshine today. I'm so thankful God gave us rain today. You know, whatever it happens to be. And everybody's looking at you and say, man, you look pretty miserable. You look pretty rough. And yet you let your light shine, bringing glory to God, no matter what situation you're in. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be in hospitals a lot with someone you love. I know what it's like to be in intensive care with somebody you love. And I've also been able to be with other people in that situation and see what they're doing for God in that situation. Even the person who's laying in the bed, you know? You have opportunities. You can bring glory to God. But notice what he says. He says, your patience and your faith and your persecutions and tribulation that you endure is wonderful. But then he says that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. You know, we've been studying in 1 Peter, he's talking about Christ suffering. And he said, look, if Christ suffered, what do you think? You think maybe you're going to suffer? If Christ brought glory to God in his suffering, what are you to do when you suffer? Nobody likes it. Jesus didn't like it. You know, what did Jesus say the night that before he was betrayed? He was in the garden, he was crying to God, and he said, God, please, if there's any way this can happen without me having to go through this. God said, no. And he said, your will be done, Father. And he went through it. He didn't want to. It's not like we're supposed to be dancing happy down the aisle to whatever tribulation we have. It's about wanting to serve God and bring him glory in whatever situation we find ourselves. In Romans chapter 8, of course, Paul's talking about wonderful, wonderful chapter of encouragement. But here he gets into details. He says, verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? That's a pretty comprehensive list of trouble, right? I'm thankful that we live in a place where we don't have to worry about the danger of the sword coming to our door. You know, they did. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what happens. Did you hear the promise in that? No matter what happens, no matter what trouble you're faced with, God is not going to desert you. You got to hang on. But he's not going to desert you. He's not going to desert you. That includes when you go through years of suffering because of a bad relationship or a disease or who knows what. That includes going through weeks or months of living with somebody in intensive care. It also is true when you lose the one you love. That's also true when you lose the one you love. God is with you. And you're not being separated from God. He's there. So how do we deal with troubles? You know, there's general things, obviously, about faith and trusting God and, you know, believing what he tells us. But, you know, there's some really nice specifics in the scripture. In Romans chapter 8, a little before what we just read, in verse 9, he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. You know, that's a nice long list of stuff all Christians ought to do all the time. You know, that's how we ought to live. If you ever wanted, you know, it's one of those things. You ever had one of those, you don't know what you're going to do today, so you pick something out of a box, right? You could make a list of these things and just pick one out of a box, right? What am I going to do today? I'm going to abhor what is evil. I'm not going to let evil come into my eyes or my ears today. That's a good choice. But notice, down in the middle of this, there's a prescription for a Christian dealing with trouble. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing steadfastly in prayer. There is a prescription on how to deal when life has got you hammered with trouble. Why? Let's look at it. Rejoicing in hope. Well, man, that sounds easy. You know, it's like you're really miserable because of your troubles. And somebody says, oh, rejoice, brother. Rejoice, sister. That's kind of hard, isn't it? It's kind of tough. It's hard to do that. Why are you rejoicing in hope? What did he just tell us about our hope? What hope are we talking about? Hope that it's going to get better tomorrow? You know, I've been in situations where that probably wasn't going to happen. No, this is a long view. Why does a Christian always have something to rejoice over? No matter what's going on, no matter if it's World War II or World War III, no matter if you're sitting there dying of cancer, no matter if your loved one is dying of cancer, whatever, it doesn't matter. Why does a Christian always have reason to rejoice? Because of what we just did. Because of what Christ did that we remember. We're forgiven. We're forgiven. God's prepared a place for us in heaven. No matter what happens in this earth, he's got a place for us in heaven. We're going to see him face to face. If we hang on and if we endure. Patient in tribulation. Patience in trouble. Why? Well, one thing, trouble is temporary. Even if that means you die, it's still temporary. It's not eternal. You know, it's temporary. To be patient. Why? Because you know God has a reason. You know God has a reason. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. You know, why do we pray at all? Because God listens. He hears. And he acts. Sometimes he says no when we ask for something. Sometimes he says yes. There have been a lot of people praying with Dan and Lynn's struggles they've had the last few weeks. We have spent a lot of time in heavy-duty prayer. We do it for lots of people. We have lots of people who've been sick. I've been sick. Y'all been praying for me. We've been, you know. And I could say like Paul, you know, I love to see the love in this congregation, how people help each other, love each other, pray with each other, struggle with each other. You're willing to stand with a brother or sister who's hurting. That's a really good thing. But we pray because God listens and we trust him. You know, in James chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Have you ever thought about that? That when we're in trouble, when we're having a hard time, and the word tells us to be patient. Why? God is working on you. God's word, look what it says. Look what it says. The testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work. In other words, God's working on you, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now that word perfect there is teleos. It means to be full, complete, mature, right? We're not talking sinlessly perfect here. We know we sin. We're talking about being completely made up like God wants you to be. There's a purpose here. But he says to be complete, lacking nothing. You know, when Paul had a, he said he had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it is. Some people say it might have been, had to do with his eyes. We don't know. Scripture doesn't say. But he said, "I was so bugged by this, I prayed and asked God 3 times to take it away." Now, this is an apostle of Christ who performed miracles, who raised people from the dead, who did all kinds of stuff, and he still had this problem. And it bugged him so bad that he prayed to God 3 times to take it away. He had trouble. Now, Paul had lots of trouble, right? As Gilbert used to say, he was a walking scar by the end of his life, right? Go read Galatians. Paul sat there and tell you about all his troubles, everything he went through. But what is he saying here? What did God answer? "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Could he have made Paul a Superman? Could he have taken away all of his troubles and problems? Sure he could. He didn't. What did he say? "My strength is made perfect in weakness." When you're troubled, when you're oppressed, when you're having a really hard time, you ever realize that one of the reasons that that's going on is, one, you realize that you can't make it on your own? You know? And two, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. You want God's strength? Acknowledge your weakness. I did this once. My late wife had really terrible migraines almost her whole life. And one of the things that I used to do in the middle of the night was I'd go get a really, really hot towel that was hot, just scalding my fingers, and I'd take it upstairs to her and put it on her head to try to give her some relief. And I mean, she took all kinds of pain meds, but she had all kinds of problems with pain meds, as people do. And you know, we were doing this hot towel thing for a while. And one night, I forget what time it was, 2 or 3 in the morning, I'd made several trips, you know, because the towel would only stay hot for so long, and then I'd have to go down and do it again and scald my hands and come back up and do it, and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I was halfway up the stairway in my house, and I was exhausted, and I was just so weary, and my wife was hurting, and I just crumbled there on the stairs and cried. And I just said, God, I can't do it. I can't handle it. I'm not strong enough. You know, I used to tell people, one of the problems of being big, you know, I'm really big, y'all all know this, right? Being all big and strong is you kind of get this feeling because you're so big and so you're stronger than everybody. You can always lift everything that no one else can. You can reach things that no one can reach. You know, all that kind of stuff. And it kind of goes to your head a little bit. And you think, well, I can handle it. I'm strong. God made me strong. He did make me strong. He said, I got a big back. I can carry those loads. God taught me a lesson that night that I can't do it with my own strength. You know, that's part of what's going on here. He's teaching us. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Here's the reason, if you wonder, one of the reasons why we have trouble. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. There's the answer, right there. You want to know why you have trouble? God is training you to be able to help others. One of the things I've told people, I mentor people at work and stuff, and one of the things I tell them after they've gone through a particularly bad time in their professional life is I say, you know what? You just had a very painful and expensive education. Don't waste it. And that works here too. You ever been through really hard times? You may be going through them now. Don't waste it. What does God want you to learn? What is he teaching you? How is he preparing you? How is he training you to serve him? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. In John 16:33, we have the rest of what Jesus said. It's Jesus talking. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yeah, be of good cheer. That word cheer there doesn't mean, you know, smiley, bouncy, happy. It means courage. It means take courage. Be strong. Know that you're going to have trouble and that I'm with you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you are doing this for my glory and my purpose. Whatever it is, you are serving God. You are bringing glory to him in your trouble. That's our purpose, Christian. Romans 12:21. Paul is kind of summing up, and he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the other purpose. You're shining your light. You're letting people see that you don't live a miserable life, that you live a life for God. Yeah, it's got trouble in it. Absolutely. Is it hard? Absolutely. You want to know more? Come have lunch with me sometime. I'll tell you more of mine. You can tell me some of yours. I'm sure we could share lots of stories about trouble. But you know what a Christian can tell you? But God brought me through it. But God brought me through it. No, he has not left me. No, he has not forsaken me. It's one of the great Psalms that says, I was young, but now I'm old, and I have never seen people of God forsaken. You know? That's what you learn as you go through this stuff. Especially those of you who are new Christians. Has the trouble gotten any easier? We have several here who are new Christians. You know what I mean? It's tough. You know what? God's training you. He trusts you. He trusts you. And he loves you. So Christians, you know, don't let it overwhelm you. Sometimes it can really feel like it overwhelms you. You just feel like, I can't make it. I can't handle it anymore. You know what? The sun comes up the next day and God is still there. You can. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. He's not going to give you anything above that which you're able to bear, the scripture says. My late wife used to say, I wish he didn't trust me so much. Because she was having a bad day. And said, I know God's not going to tempt me above that which I'm able to bear, but I wish he didn't trust me so much. She was tongue in cheek. But he does trust us and he knows us. Rejoice even in suffering. Because you know God's working on you and he loves you and he trusts you. Be patient in tribulation. Your troubles are temporary. Heaven's eternal. And pray and trust God because he listens. If you're not a Christian today, only God can provide the strength for troubles in this world. You can try anything else you want. You know, you can try drugs, you can try money, you can try success, you can try relationships, you can try anything you want. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. You need to follow God. You need to do what he says. You need to be born again of the water and the Spirit. You need to repent of your sins and turn away from them. You need to live faithfully to God, even in the midst of your troubles. If you have a need today, we're here to help. If you need to obey the gospel, water's right there. It's ready. If you need just to let people know so we can pray for you, we will. This evening, I'm going to be talking about peace. One of the most precious words to me in these last few months has been peace. And we're going to talk about how do you have peace in the middle of all your troubles. But if you have any needs, won't you come forward as we stand and sing.